I haven't already introduced myself. My name is Chris Kendall. I'm the lead pastor here at Concord Church, and very thankful for all of you to that come out here today. We're very blessed to have you here with us. The genesis of this service, thinking about coming back to church, and whether we have been away for a week or a month or a year, right? Church is always a place that you can come back to. There's something special about coming back home, isn't there? I mean, maybe you've experienced the same thing. You've been on a trip, a long trip, and you walk through the door, and you feel like, oh, I'm at home. The familiar smell of your house hits you. The couch feels just right. You have pictures on your wall that remind you of loved ones. Maybe even that squeaky floorboard that you walk on every time you go to the kitchen. Home has a way of wrapping its arms around us and saying, you belong here. Now, I'm old enough now to have a daughter in college. And so my wife, Jan, and I have a saying about when Sophia is away at school, we say that the house is quiet and clean. But when Sophia comes home, I'm not fussing about a messy house or a raided fridge. All I can think about when Sophia's home is that Sophia's home. Because home isn't just about a walls or a roof. It is about relationship. It is about family. It's about belonging. And so today on this Back to Church Sunday, I want to tell you something very important. Church is a home. It's not just a place we attend. It is a family that we belong to. It's a foundation that we stand on. It is it's the dwelling place of the living God. Paul says it beautifully from our passage today from Ephesians chapter 2. Right? Consequently, because of this, you are no longer foreigners or strangers. But you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises together to become the holy temple of God. And in him, too, you are being knit together to become a dwelling place where God himself lives. In this passage, Paul lists out three very important images of the church, right? A family, a building with a solid foundation, and a temple where God lives. And as we walk through what Paul is trying to communicate to us, what God is trying to communicate to us together, let us hear the invitation that God is saying to us. Welcome home. First of all, the church is a family, right? Paul begins this passage by saying, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but you are fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household. In the ancient world, when Paul was writing this letter, being a foreigner or a stranger was a dangerous thing. You had no legal rights. You had no protections. There were no guarantees of your safety. Being a foreigner, being a stranger, meant that you lived on the margins. You were easily overlooked or mistreated. Paul says this is what life was like before Jesus. We were outsiders. We were cut off from God's promises. We were the ones wandering around without hope. But now, because of Jesus, we have been welcomed in. Right? We are no longer strangers. We are family. We are members of God's household. I mean, think about that. The creator of everything that is doesn't call you his subject or his servant. He calls you his child. And he places you in his household, the church. You know, when we gather as the church, we are gathering as brothers and sisters in Christ. We may not look alike. We may not act alike. We may not even think alike. And sometimes, like family, we may rub each other the wrong way. We may disagree with one another. But what makes family isn't our preferences or personalities. What makes us family is the blood of Jesus. It is his grace that binds us all together. Now here's the good news, right? When we come back to church, you're not just walking into a building, you're coming back to family. And it doesn't matter if you've never attended or missed a week or two, or if you were here last week. You're coming back to a place where you are known and loved and missed. And just like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, as he ran to embrace his child who had been away for a long time, God's church throws its arms open wide and says, "Welcome home." Secondly, the church is built on a solid foundation. Now, Paul continues as he says that we are being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being our chief cornerstone. You know, there's a famous tower in Italy known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was a tower that was built sometime between the 12th and the 15th century, 14th century, and it's known for its lean. Right, you've probably seen the pictures when somebody goes to Italy and they visit Pisa and you see the leaning tower, and so they're always like this, right? Trying to hold it up. Kind of a well-known picture that people like to take. It's a good reminder that a building is only as strong as its foundation. Now, if you've ever driven past an old house that's leaning or crumbling, chances are the foundation gave away. And the same is true in life. Without a solid foundation, everything collapses when the storms of life hit. Paul says the church has the best possible foundation, right? The teachings of the apostles and the prophets, the very word of God handed down to them through Scripture. And at the very center of it all, Jesus. Jesus is our cornerstone. Right? In ancient architecture, the cornerstone was the very first stone that was laid. It determined everything else. Everything else was built off the cornerstone. If the cornerstone was set properly, the whole structure would stand firm. However, if it was a little askew, the whole thing, the whole building would be crooked. And Paul is reminding us that Christ is the one that holds all of this together. He is the one who sets the direction for our lives and our community. And this is why church is so important. It's why coming back to church is so important. We live in a world today where foundations are extremely shaky. Opinions change. Fads come and go. Technology is advancing at a pace faster than we can keep up with. And when crises hit, whether it's a pandemic or an economic downturn or a simple personal struggle, we quickly realize that we need something more solid than our own strength. The church reminds us that our foundation is not in politics, it's not in wealth, it's not in trends. It's not even in our own good intentions. Our foundation is Jesus. His life, death, and resurrection are the cornerstone of our faith. And when we gather each week, we stand on that firm foundation together. You know, friends, coming to church is not about anything other than regaining our footing. It's about realigning our lives with the cornerstone. It's about letting Christ set the direction again in our lives so that we can be built straight and strong. And then Paul says this, that the church is God's dwelling place. He finishes this passage by saying, in him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. I mean, this is breathtaking when you think about this. The church isn't simply some human organization or social club. It is the temple of the living God. The temple in Jerusalem was a place where God's Spirit dwelt in a very special way. In fact, people would travel for days. They would take a pilgrimage to come and visit the temple because the temple was the place where heaven and earth met. But Paul says now God's Spirit isn't in that physical dwelling place. It is in the community of believers that we are God's temple. Together, we are the very dwelling place of God. And that when we gather in worship, we're not just singing songs and listening to sermons. We are encountering the living God. The Spirit is present, knitting us together and shaping us into his holy people, making his home among us. That's why church, at least in my eyes, isn't optional. Yeah, certainly we can pray at home. We can read our Bible on our own. And you can even watch a live stream of a service. But there's something unique and irreplaceable about gathering as God's people. That when we come together, God's Spirit moves among us in a way that we cannot experience alone. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called this a means of grace. Right? The ordinary ways that God has chosen to pour out his extraordinary presence into our lives. Public worship, the Lord's Supper, prayer together, fellowship with other believers. These aren't just rituals. These are places where God's Spirit dwells. And so when we come back to church, we are stepping into the temple of God's Spirit. When we come back to church, we are opening ourselves again to his presence and his power and his transformation. So why should somebody go back to church if they've been missing a while? Don't come back out of guilt. Don't come back because the preacher said so. Don't come back to simply check a religious box. Come back to church because you realize that church is a family. That you belong here. That you are missed here. Your presence matters. Your presence encourages us and strengthens the body. That the church is a foundation. Life shakes us, right? We are going to face troubles. But here we are reminded of Christ, our cornerstone, which holds everything together. Come back to church because the church is God's dwelling. Here is where we meet the living God in a way that is powerful and communal and transforming. You know, coming back to church is like coming home. It's where you find family and stability and God's presence. You know, there's a story that Jesus tells about a son that made a decision to live apart from his family because he wanted to live his life his way. And he winds up losing everything. He has to go feed pigs, live in a pigsty to survive. He makes the decision to chance it, decides to come home. He has no idea what's going to happen to him when he comes home, but he makes the decision to return. And it turns out that the father has been watching and waiting longing for his son to return. Every day the father would spend up in a watchtower hoping that his son would return home. And on the day when he saw his son, he started running. When the father and the son came face to face each other, it was the father that grabs the son and hugs him for all he's worth. Right, this is the heart of God for anybody who has been away from church. Right, God isn't standing there, arms crossed, thinking, "Where have you been?" God is running to you with arms open wide, saying, "Welcome home." In the church, his household, we echo that same sentiment. And so again, whether you've missed a week, missed a month, missed a year, welcome home. You belong here. This is God's house. This is your family. This is where God's Spirit dwells, and there is a place for you here. Let us pray. And gracious God, we are grateful for your presence with us today. God, we're grateful that you are here. And you, Jesus, are the object of our worship. You, Jesus, are the reason why we sing and worship, why we gather. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these opportunities to know you and to grow into you. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.